Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, this is crazy. I don't know if I mentioned this on Friday or when this story came out again. So Axios Media broke down the numbers when it comes to, you think of all these mostly garbage political campaign commercials, and you think of all this flood of money from out of state, Chuck Schumer, John Tester, and their lying campaign commercials. Which again, I just think it's great that Montanans are seeing through this and they're seeing how phony it is. I think they're finally on to John Tester's shtick. Now, in past elections, you know, most people were on to John Tester's shtick and they realized, like, okay, the guy's a phony. He's pretending to be something he's not. He was the deciding vote for Obamacare. And then look in the last 3 years, what he's done. As he and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have had all this power in Washington, D.C., they've destroyed the economy, they destroyed your pocketbook with massive inflation and so much more. But it's only taken about, 4% of the population in Montana, the voting population, to be duped by some of these phony ads for John Tester to win or to survive re-election. Hopefully this year, the fact that the number of conservatives in Montana has grown because a lot of people were fleeing these BS COVID-19 lockdowns and mandates. So they fled the lockdown states and they wanted to come to the red states. They wanted to come to the free states of America. So we've got more conservative voters now. But then on top of that, I think more and more Montanans. I've talked with countless Montanans as I've traveled the state. Guys who've told me, and they were honest, they were like, you know what, we voted for John Tester before, but never again. Never again. Look at how much ad spending is taking place in Montana. So what Axios Media did is they ran the numbers. We've got big races in Montana, Nevada, Ohio, Wisconsin, Arizona, Pennsylvania, you name it. They looked at ad spending per eligible voter by state, and they broke down how much spending is taking place per voter. In Montana, the Democrat spending thus far has turned out to be the Democrats are spending $152.31 per voter on advertising already. Republican spending is about $128.89. So definitely the Democrats are outspending. They've got their dark money groups that are spending more. But on a per voter basis, they've calculated that the Democrats are spending about $152 per voter in Montana, and Republicans are spending about $128 per voter in Montana, which is basically about $100 more per voter than any other state in the country right now. Nevada comes in second. The Democrats are spending $38.80 per voter. Republicans are spending $20.56 per voter. So again, there's like a $100 difference. That shows you how important this U.S. Senate race is here in Montana. All right, coming up right after this, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Back to business every Monday here in the 7 o'clock hour. Obviously, we've got to talk about the Stillwater Mine and much more ahead in this Back to Business segment.
Securing America.
In a recent conversation sponsored by the Washington Post, Assistant Attorney General for National Security Matt Olson focused part of the discussion on the risks associated with the rise of artificial intelligence.
Our top priority is stopping the flow of technologies relating to artificial intelligence from going to Russia, to China, to Iran.
Olson says AI can change the capacity of America's adversaries on a number of threats.
Cybersecurity, using AI for disinformation when it comes to election interference, for example.
But Olson adds the good news is that the private sector joins the government in recognizing the risk.
Russia is trying to obtain microelectronics to fuel its war in Ukraine. And, you know, companies in the United States understand the dangers that poses and are very willing to work with us and have worked with us.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a mixture of clouds and sunshine. Do pick up a chance for some late-day showers and storms for Bozeman, but Billings still looking to stay dry. Highs in the upper 70s for Bozeman, but low to mid-80s for Billings. For tonight, still that chance for showers and storms in the evening for Bozeman, dropping back into the upper 40s, but mid-50s for Billings. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we always like to start with the good news as we you know, talk business news, get the back to business segment underway here with the Big Sky Business Journal. And the good news is that Montana continues to rank high in job growth and wage growth. That's the good news. We always like to start with the good news, but we also really have to focus on the important news here and the devastating news that Stillwater Mine will be laying off 700 employees. Evelyn, thanks for being with us here this morning. What's the latest that you're hearing?
Well, I don't know if I've heard any more updates in that regard, but just to emphasize that the Stillwater Mine is a major employer of the area, and this will be a devastating impact, not just for the immediate families involved, but for the entire economy in our region. Last year, the company also laid off 90 workers. The Stillwater Mine is operated by a South African company just southwest of Columbus, and they have another mine south of Big Timber, and they were employing 1,680 workers. And the layoffs are the result of low commodity prices and will remain reduced, the employment force, until palladium prices increase again. The company said that they had anticipated that this year they're going to lose $230 million, which is a lot of money to lose. The average pay for mining jobs in Montana is $106,000, and the Sabine workers comprised about 13% of the payroll jobs in Stillwater and Sweetgrass counties. The company is planning to continue some work as they plan some restructuring operations in the East Boulder Mine, south of Big Timber, and to refurbish and do some changes in their processing plant at Columbus. To understand how serious the blow this is, mining is the greatest contributing industry for Yellowstone County's economy. And this is where many mining companies headquarter, but also Billings is where they come to buy all kinds of products and materials and equipment. And it's also where many of their workers live. You can see them getting on buses out here in the parking lots of the big box stores. And it's where they live, and it's also where those who live in Columbus or Big Timber or other areas, you know, they come here to shop. So in every respect, this is an economic blow to everyone in Billings and Yellowstone County.
Yeah, we had a caller on Friday's show. A caller called in and said, and I'd love to see the numbers and the official numbers somewhere, but I trust what this caller said. I forget what it was. Something like for every dollar that comes in from the Stillwater Mine, I mean, it leads to, you know, countless, you know, revenue for area businesses and, you know, really across Montana, but particularly in South Central and Southwest Montana with all the workers, especially between Billings and Livingston, that support the various mining operations. But just a massive economic impact. Senator Steve Daines introduced legislation that would ban the import of critical minerals from Russia, like platinum and palladium. To me, it's just crazy that everything that Russia has been up to in these past few years, all this Russia, Russia, Russia nonsense, why are they still allowing Russia to bring these types of minerals into Montana when or into the United States when we have these minerals right here in Montana and the company is basically losing money if they keep people employed? That makes no sense whatsoever. Now, Senator Steve Daines has also sent a letter to the Treasury Department to try to get some additional tax incentives in place for this type of production because, basically the Biden administration has deliberately excluded the extraction industries from benefiting from these type of credits. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, and especially given that mining is going to be so needed as we move into using more electricity charged batteries and all of that, all those, that new technology requires all kinds of minerals. I don't remember who said it, but we're going to have to double the production in this country of just copper in order to meet those demands. And here, Montana does everything they can to slow, if not halt, the opening of mines. And these are the same people who want all that new technology. So, they're kind of shooting themselves in their own foot in a way. And it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and we've seen recent reports that, China controls 90% of the critical minerals needed for, national security in our own U.S. military, for example. You mentioned the copper that's needed. We should be fast-tracking these mining operations to get more mining up and going right here in Montana and elsewhere across the country. But instead, we've got liberal judges here in Montana put on the bench by Democrats that continue to either slow walk, new mining operations or shut down potential mining operations, or threaten the ones we've already got, like Colstrip and like Signal Peak. And these judges were put on the bench by Liberal Senator John Tester, whose own Green New Deal push with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden is what caused so much harm to the platinum and palladium prices in the first place. And so, something that needs to be pointed out here in this critical election here in 2024. Quick break, more with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Speaker Mike Johnson recently had to put on hold his plan to fund the government through next March, avoiding a government shutdown, and attaching to the legislation language which would mandate that people prove they are citizens before voting. But some conservatives wonder just how committed Johnson was to the combo funding proof of citizenship bill. Johnson arch nemesis Marjorie Taylor Greene doubted that Johnson would fight for the original bill and eventually get rolled by the democratically controlled Senate or team with Democrats to pass a bill. And Florida Republican Corey Mills pointed out that there was no way to implement the voting requirement between now and the election. So that made the bill, as he said, quote, a farce. Bipartisan defense hawks opposed the plan because it freezes all spending until March. The Pentagon scores more than half of all money Congress allocates each year. In addition, a small group of conservatives opposes any sort of interim spending bill at all. It's all about the math. Johnson's plan hinges on which group of Republicans is larger, those who want to go home and campaign or those who want to stay in Washington and fight over election security. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The latest consumer price index indicates a slowdown in inflation, which has dropped below 3% for the first time since 2021. The Federal Reserve is expected to begin cutting interest rates this month, while longer-term interest rates have been falling for a few weeks now. Crop yields are also expected to be high this fall, putting downward pressure on prices. Corn and soybean futures have fallen over 30% in the last 18 months. While the pressure is on crop producers, livestock producers are benefiting from lower feed prices and higher product prices, improving their 2024 profitability. Strong financial positions from high incomes in 2021 and 22 have also provided a cushion for some producers heading into a more challenging business environment. However, weak crop margins are set to further erode farm sector income this year, while portfolio growth in the system showed solid financial results with modest growth in the first half of the year. And wheat sales here in the U.S. during the first week of September were up 40% from the previous week and 11% from the prior 4 weeks. Taiwan, the top buyer at over 100,000 ton. Wheat exports for the week were up 542,000 tons, or up 15% week over week. I'm Lane Nordblonde.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so the tax credit that I was referencing here, Senator Daines sent a letter to the U.S. Department of the Treasury urging Secretary Yellen to include extraction costs in the final regulations for the Advanced Manufacturing Production Credit to ease pressures the mining industry is facing due to Russian interference. And basically, he's making the point that in Treasury's draft guidance, extraction costs are excluded from the credit. And so, to me, this is just yet another pattern here where you have this administration pandering to their radical environmentalist base that does not want to see more mining. Not only do they not want to see more mining, they want to shut down the mining that we've already got. That's why these dark money funded environmental groups here in Montana are constantly attacking Colstrip, constantly attacking the proposed mine in White Sulphur Springs. They're constantly attacking Signal Peak. And John Tester's liberal buddies on the federal bench are the ones that constantly rule on behalf of these wacko environmental groups. That's why every time John Tester claims to support the Stillwater mine, claims to support any other mining in Montana, frankly, is a bunch of hogwash from that Washington fat cat, because he is the one who puts these liberal judges on the bench that rule on behalf of the environmentalists. It is a dangerous double game that John Tester plays here. And some people fall for this phoniness. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Yeah, what a massive punch in the gut here with 700 employees being laid off from the Stillwater mine. In Montana, fortunately, at least Montana as a state continues to rank high in job growth and in wage growth. But still, I don't know what can truly cushion the blow of this type of a hit.
Yeah, I'm sure many of the skills don't transfer to some of the newer jobs or in the sectors that are growing. But, you know, hopefully some will. But there are lots of jobs that are begging to be filled right now in Montana. Montana has had, and I read this both ways, either the fifth or the eighth highest job growth in the nation. But either way, it is good. Montana has added more than 75,000 jobs since the onset of the pandemic. And over 10,000 of those jobs were created and filled in the last year, according to the Montana Department of Labor and Industry. Most of those jobs were in healthcare, education, and tourism. Much of that growth was driven by remote workers moving to Montana from other states, according to the Department of Labor and Industry. I think I mentioned last week that Montana has also ranked fifth in terms of increases in average hourly wage and net income. Having said that, while much of the job growth included health care, Sarah Swanson, who heads the Department of Labor and Industry, said, we are going to need considerably more workers in the health care and construction industries between now and 2032. The health care industry will need 800 new skilled workers annually until 2032, and construction will require 1,000 new workers each year for the next 8 years. They said that 96% of contractors right now have open positions wanting to hire. So hopefully some of these people will be able to, you know, get into the construction industry or something. like that.
Yeah. The other thing, this story, I think that needs to be pointed out is that there's been a lot of people who, when this big news was announced that Lewistown, Montana was going to get this big new employer, this engineering firm was going to be basically setting up shop in Lewistown. There were a lot of people that were like, oh man, I'm worried that Lewistown is going to change forever. Lewistown is going to get too much growth. And I get where people are coming from with that concern, but also it's kind of one of those things where if you're not growing, you're dying. And you know, we're excited to see, you know, for example, Brixtal Defense opening an ammo manufacturing shop in Glendive. But I get why people were concerned about Lewistown, worrying that it might be too much too soon. But again, like, what happens? If you lose one employer over here or one employer over there, you know, then you're going to be begging for a new employer to come in. So it's just a little tough to look a gift horse in the mouth sometimes.
Yeah, and those communities, they've lost, a lot of them have lost a lot of population because of declines in other industries, in agriculture. I mean, a lot of them were hugely sustained by agriculture, and that whole industry has changed enough that a lot of the support businesses in them have closed. So they do need a new source of companies and business and revenue. And just to bring them back, you know, to the...
That's right. Business. Yeah, I think you shared those population numbers that showed how much population loss Lewistown and Fergus County, Montana, has seen over the past few decades. And so, maybe this is a way of looking at this will rebuild the population that they've lost.
With an October Atlantic City date, America is listening to Fox News.
All right. Thankfully, Evelyn Pyburn is able to stick around with us for a few more minutes. And then coming up after our 7:35 break, we'll have the phone lines open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks, you can get in the queue right now, 406-294-0970. And obviously, I got a lot ready to roll for you as well. But Evelyn, a couple of different stories I think you've got in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here this morning. A report showing that energy demand will continue to rise, sounds like just exponentially. And then on top of that, the Pew Foundation did a survey asking Americans if fossil fuels should be completely phased out. Where do you want to start?
Well, the Pew Research, I mean, I was glad to read this report because, you know, it says basically that there aren't as many people going over the cliff as I was beginning to think. Pew Research reports that only 29% of U.S. adults support the United States phasing out the use of fossil fuels completely. Younger adults still favor using a mix of fossil fuel and renewable energy sources at 54%. And even 53% of Democrats agree. The only Democrat-leaning adults between 18 and 29 who showed less than a majority support for a mix of generation sources was those between 18 and 29, yes. And the only 43% of them wanted a mix, so it was below half. Support for solar and wind has declined significantly since 2019 by both Democrats and Republicans, as has support by both groups to develop renewable energy. Wind and solar account for only 5% of electricity production in the United States, and support for nuclear has increased hugely by both parties. And I read different things about the increasing support for nuclear energy. Sounds like it's the thing of the future. Hopefully we'll get some new resources for energy production, because the Minneapolis Federal Reserve Bank, which serves the 9th District, of which Montana is one, they report that the demand for electricity is rising rapidly, and because of the growing number of data centers. And the supply of electricity is also rising, but the situation is complicated by the ongoing shift from coal to natural gas and wind and solar.
Yeah, it's complicated by the fact that the Democrats keep trying to shut off electricity, kill the hydropower dams in the Northwest, kill Colstrip and more. Yeah, they don't even understand. Yeah, they don't even understand their own hypocrisy, do they? Evelyn Pyburn, I got to hit the hard break here. Thanks so much for your time. As always, make sure you sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet and the print edition.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's fun to think about the future and how new technologies might shape it. The whole genre of science fiction is testimony to the imagination and creativity in describing what societies and life itself might lie ahead. But the large advances in machine intelligence in recent years should remind us that the future is not as far away as you might think. The fast ramp-up of artificial intelligence, or AI, has been a seismic event in just about everywhere you look, in financial markets, in science, and the way businesses operate. It's developing so fast, it's difficult to even talk about it coherently. Remember when computers couldn't defeat grandmasters in chess? History is full of examples of new technologies that could do amazing things in their time, but they didn't truly explode until they solved problems. Often that requires some kind of complementary innovation. If history is any guide, the AI revolution in the economy might be a bit slower than its amazing demonstrations might suggest. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, President Trump survives a second assassination attempt on his life. Of course, that was the big story developing Sunday afternoon. And then to see Lester Holt on NBC not only downplay the significance of that story and downplay this assassination attempt on President Trump, but then immediately launch into a fake news attack on Donald J. Trump, literally just within minutes and hours of this assassination attempt on his life. It just shows you how despicable the fake news media is right now, how much they are trying to put their thumb on the scales to help the Democrats. And I just hope it's a reminder of everything that is at stake. And again, we here in Montana, we can't control what goes on in Pennsylvania or Ohio or South Florida for that matter, but we can control what happens here in Montana. And if you understand what is at stake and you understand the depths they will go to, whether it's the deep state operatives like this fraud, you know, Alexander Vindman, and others, Colonel Cupcake, as we refer to him, like these deranged leftist lunatics who somehow continue to be allowed close to the president, former president of the United States, to the fake news media with the, you know, absurd attacks. Again, we can't control what goes on in these battleground states of Ohio and Michigan and Pennsylvania, et cetera, from here in Montana. But we can do is talk about and get involved in the most important U.S. Senate race in the country. What, when I shared those numbers earlier this hour, for those of you that missed it, according to Axios Media, more political spending is taking place in Montana by a vast number than anywhere else in the country. It's not even close. Nevada, over $100 behind per voter in ad spending with regard to the U.S. Senate. Ohio, the same deal, over 100. Wisconsin, Arizona, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Michigan, you name it. Montana is the race that matters. Democrats are spending, according to Axios, $152 per eligible voter in Montana alone. Republicans only spending about $128 per eligible voter, according to this data, because they are being outspent by these corrupt, you know, Democrat operatives, Chuck Schumer, and these Soros-funded groups and others. That's why it's up to you. And I think most Montanans are seeing through it, and they're seeing through these fake news media attacks, like the Billings Gazette. It's so funny. Look, I get it. The Capitol Bureau writes their left-wing, opinionated, biased Capitol Bureau reports.
But you guys still keep putting the same article in your newsletter 5 days in a row now. Yeah, I get your e-newsletter. You get one, you know, phony attack against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, and you cover that news, but you don't cover anything negative really about John Tester. If you do, you end up kind of covering for John Tester. But then, like, that one fake attack against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, and you keep featuring it at the top of your e-newsletter for like 5 or 6 days in a row now. I mean, why don't you try to be a little less obvious with how in the back pocket you are for this fake, phony, fraud, flip-flop, flat-top John Tester? Just make it a little bit less obvious. Now, if it's your opinion pages, hey, you know, at least you're being honest about what your opinions are. Here's where I have a problem is what these TV stations are doing. And by the way, all the TV stations. I don't think I've seen one TV station here in Montana that has covered this election fairly or even attempted to cover this election fairly right now. It's an absolute joke. And remember Lily Meskers, the University of Montana student athlete who broke the big news? The only reason we know that there is a group offering up paid political endorsements to student athletes for the first time ever in Montana's history. The only reason we know that is happening, is because of a student journalist at the University of Montana. And yet, 2 weeks later, when a TV station in Missoula finally decided to cover that story, they didn't even give her credit. They didn't even mention the fact that female student athletes at the University of Montana rejected these paid political endorsements of John Tester because he voted against women's sports. They didn't even mention that. They didn't even credit the student journalist who broke the story, Lily Meskers. The Lee newspapers finally produced a story about that story. The update that they included was that apparently two students did take the paid political endorsement. So you know they were bought off if you see any student athletes endorsing John Tester. You know they were just bought and paid for. But again, they refused to name or interview or give credit to the young woman, student athlete, who actually broke that story. Now, they credited and linked back to my show, to Montana Talks. Okay, well, great, thanks. But she's the one who deserves the credit. She's the one who broke the story. Now, I need to go read the Montana Kaiman. That's the student newspaper at the University of Montana. Apparently, the student newspaper at the University of Montana also couldn't even give credit where credit's due to one of their own fellow journalism students. Which reminds me of this post by Elon Musk on X over the weekend. Propaganda isn't just about creating fake news. It's also about hiding real news. And I should let Lily Meskers at the University of Montana know that she now has an honorary doctorate in fake news, because she has seen it firsthand. She breaks the real news. She covers the real news. And the fake news completely tries to cover it up and cover for Liberal Senator John Tester. Man, just fascinating to watch how phony the Montana media coverage has been of this election. Let's go to Gary in Billings next up on the phone lines. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. I was kind of surprised. A couple weeks ago, there was a article by the editor talking about what they're going to put on there in their newspaper if it was a lie or true. Well, there's been two or three articles now that written by editorial, not these write-ins, but the one on September 14th, the front page, that the lies that Tester's putting out on abortion on Sheehy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mentioned that this Friday, PolitiFact, the left-leaning group PolitiFact, actually did one of their fact checks where they basically point out that what John Tester is saying about Tim Sheehy in his abortion commercials is not true. Here's my prediction, Gary, because PolitiFact is a very biased left-wing fake fact-check organization, but here's my prediction. They throw this one out there to look like they're fair, and now you've got not only the Gazette's going to run these PolitiFact things, but then the TV stations are going to run them as well. And then you watch, as we get closer to Election Day, they're gonna go full barrel against Tim Sheehy with every fake fact check they got. That's just my prediction. We'll see. Maybe they've got better leadership at PolitiFact now, and they're actually going to do, you know, fair, responsible fact checking. But I doubt it. I think this is like the seminar callers that call into radio shows pretending to be Republicans when they're just Democrat Party operatives. I think PolitiFact has put this one out there to look like they're fair, to look like they're objective. And then you watch, when it comes to the issues that really matter, they're going to go full-throated defense of John Tester, and these newspapers and these TV stations will run with it every time.
Well, you know, this guy from up there in Glendive, I'm a full-fledged Republican, but I'm voting for John Tester. I mean, you look at that guy, how much he was probably paid. He can hardly talk, you know?
They didn't make him look good, did they? They didn't make him look good. I kind of want to call that guy and be like, man, I feel bad for you. They made you look like a moron in that commercial. It's like, wow, they edited this. But I wonder if they made him look like a moron for a reason, because they think it looks more real. They think it looks more authentic if they make the guy look like some, you know, some hick who doesn't know how to talk. It's like their old prospector ads that the Joker from Twitter and I always talk about, John Jackson. Well, if you just run up the old creek bed. Yeah. So I wondered if they deliberately made the guy look like that. I'm a lifelong Republican. One of the guys in that exact same commercial, he's a left-wing Twitter troll. But I guess, you know, if a man can identify as a woman, Democrats can identify as Republicans in John Tester's campaign commercials. Nancy and Roundup next.
What's new from Apple? There's the new iPhone 16 Pro, built for Apple Intelligence. And it comes with the all-new camera control, giving you an easier way to quickly access your camera tools. The new Apple Watch Series 10 has our biggest display and our thinnest design ever. And this? It's the sound of active noise cancellation, now available on one of two new AirPods 4 models. So quiet. Check out all of the new products and new features at Apple.com. You can even buy yourself something new. See Apple.com for product availability updates. Apple Intelligence coming this fall.
Fox News commentary.
One of the most controversial debate moments may actually work to Trump's advantage. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Interesting people are talking to Will Kane.
I said, what do I call you? I call you Dwayne. I call you The Rock. He said, now that I own it, I can call you The Rock.
Yes, I own it now. You can call me The Rock.
Our next guest needs no introduction. It is Dr. Jordan Peterson, my old friend and frenemy, Stephen A. Smith.
What is going on here? I see the Will Kane show in the background. I see the microphone.
Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com. And get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
There's no doubt Trump's viral comments on Haitian migrants allegedly eating pets in Springfield, Ohio, were controversial. City leaders in Springfield are pushing back, and we may never get to the bottom of the situation, but that might not matter, and here's why. True, partly true, or not true at all, Trump's comments on the Haitian migrant influx into that small Ohio town got people talking about an issue that may have otherwise gone under the radar. Whether the migrants are eating pets or not, there are roughly 20,000 of them in a town of 60,000, and that makes an impact. And from the comments coming out of the city council meetings, not a positive one. Immigration consistently polls within the top three issues American voters care about. Trump got the country talking about it, debating it, and acknowledging it. In any way you slice it, that's a win for Donald Trump. He might not always have the best delivery, but his impact cannot be ignored. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Together.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into the phone lines. And by the way, if you want to call in, not only do we have the phone lines open for you right now, 800-294-0970. We'll have the phone lines open in the 8 o'clock hour and in the 9 o'clock hour as well. I've got a couple of guests that are going to join us later on in the 8 o'clock hour and then one in the 9 o'clock hour. But for much of the rest of the morning, we'll just have phone lines open for you. Next up on the phone lines, we've got Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talk, Sam. I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. Or a couple of quick things. God heard our prayers for former President Donald Trump. And I just want to mention that the Trump family, First Lady Melania, and especially the youngest son, Barron, this has been absolutely traumatic for the whole Trump family. So my thoughts are with them. Barron Trump, of course, was working as a delegate for the Republican Party all summer, and he's entered college. And I tell you, the things that have that he has witnessed that have happened to his father has really developed his character. And he's going to be a person to be reckoned with in the future. He does have aspirations to run as president someday. So God bless the Trump family. As far as the Stillwater miners, my thoughts and prayers are with you. I know what a job loss means. And I just hope that these miners don't have to compete with illegal aliens for a good paying job. I'm seeing illegal aliens in Montana. While right here at the Signal Peak coal mine, there's a few. Up here in Harlington, there's some working at the rock quarry. So I'm hoping that they are the ones that get the good paying jobs and not more illegal aliens are imported into our state.
How do you know that those are illegal aliens that you saw at those two places that you just mentioned? Or is that just a suspicion? Or I just want to be clear, is that a suspicion or were you able to track it?
No, it's proven because they've come into a roundup here, the keg bar. They are working up there at the rock quarry and they come into the bar and they all know only one word of English and that's coke. They ask for coke. And then the mine out there, there's a handful of them out there. We've got about 30 of them here in town. And I heard from a reserve deputy about this.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, because obviously there's a lot of Spanish-speaking workers. But we do know that there's also a lot of illegal aliens that are flooding into the state as well. It's just, just by look or by sound alone, we can't determine if somebody is or is not an illegal alien. But that being said, your point about being concerned that, hey, look, we know that Montana is leading in job growth and in wage growth, one of the top states in the country. And that's my biggest thing that I'd like to see us, collectively here as Montanans offer up is if there are job opportunities for these laid off miners, especially high wage job opportunities, there might be jobs available, but are they high wage jobs? Let's be on the lookout for those opportunities for these miners and these mining families here in Montana. And it's all the more reason why we need to get more mines up and running as well. So that point about, the concern about illegal aliens taking these jobs, that's a concern all across this country. A great point there. Mid-morning, I had to have my mid-morning snack here. I got these nacho cheese Dorados. They taste just like nacho cheese potato chips, but they're actually protein chips. Let me look at the back of the bag here. Only 140 calories in the bag. 10 grams of carbs, but when you subtract the 5 grams of fiber, that's effectively only 5 grams of carbs, 15 grams of protein. I get up pretty early for the radio show, so mid-morning I need a good snack to keep me going. And this is a healthy snack. This is part of the way that not only did I, eat protein chips like this to lose the weight in the first place, but I kept the weight off 6 years later thanks to Billings Last Diet. You don't have to be in Billings to benefit from Billings Last Diet. They've got a remote option that is working for our listeners. It can work for you as well. Give them a call right now, 294-6751, or go to Billings Last Diet.